You're listening to the Douglas Jacoby Podcast. Here we bring you some of the material found on Douglas's website in podcast form. We hope that as you listen, you are challenged to think about faith. Today, Douglas continues his series, 40 Days with James, now looking at the magic wand and the touch. For more on this episode, follow the link in the show notes to Douglas's website. Now here's today's teaching.
Welcome back to 40 Days with James. This is day 13, and it's called The Magic Wand and the Touch. In the previous talk, we went through the second half of James chapter 2. We'll read the passage again, though in a different version, and then I have three observations to make, and then we'll have some special sharing. And then in the following talk, we'll go through the passage one last time, reading selectively and speaking of, well, some very important historical developments. Well, let's begin. James 2, 14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened just as the scriptures say. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. And that's the New Living Translation. It's a bit more paraphrased than some other dynamic equivalent translations, but still pretty good. Okay, here are my comments. Verse 14. It says, what good is it if you don't show your faith by your actions, your deeds? That emphasis on deeds is characteristic of Jesus' teaching, certainly in all the Gospels, but also Jesus' teaching in Revelation. For example, we find the words, I know your deeds, in Revelation 2 and 3. In fact, deeds are mentioned at least six times just in those chapters. And so let's not be uneasy about that. If we're uncomfortable talking about deeds, then are we really serious about following Christ? This is a faith, a religion. It's a way of action and love, and we can't just talk about it. Secondly, Abraham is called God's friend. Now, I really like that. That phrase may not appear in the Old Testament, but it appears in a lot of ancient Jewish documents. And in a way, isn't it something that we can strive for? In John 15, Jesus says that you're no longer servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. And so we're friends, interestingly, when we obey God. You might think obedience and being a servant of God, that makes you a servant. But actually, no, following, obeying, and serving makes us friends with God. Keep this in mind, because when we get to chapter 4, in verse 4, we'll read about being friends of the world, which actually makes us enemies of God. So that's the opposite here. 4:4 is opposite to 2:23. One more comment, and that is 2:26, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. That is very nicely paralleled in chapter 1, verse 26. Now, the passage about our religion being worthless. So whether it's worthless or dead, inactive, we understand that. Well, I've got more thoughts I'll share tomorrow. But what I'd like to do right now is share from something that a friend of mine put together. His name is Dave Malutinok in Atlanta. We're neighbors, just a few houses apart, in fact. David says, "This world has so many problems. We try to solve them through political means and through our freedoms to protest and even aggressively comment about our leaders. When we think about the problems in this country, America, racism, poverty, inequality, bullying, and so on, it can get overwhelming. Wouldn't it be great if someone had a magic wand and could immediately bring good out of evil? Imagine a teenager with the power of putting a stop to racism by simply swishing that magic baton. Or what if a teacher found out that she had the ability to whisk away poverty with a magic pointer? They'd be celebrities. They'd be heroes. Well, once upon a time, there was a man with such a power, and this is not a fairy tale. His name was Jesus, and he commanded attention everywhere he went. The crowds followed him, coming by foot from many towns, listened to his teaching, and were healed of various diseases. Jesus was that celebrity, that hero. The Gospels reference Jesus' healing ministry over 80 times. Wow, how priceless it would be to have this magic wand now. The problem is, he had no magic wand. He didn't use fairy dust. So how did he heal all those people? Simply through touch, relationship, singular compassion for each person he saw, personal contact. There was no magic wand, but there was the healing power of social interaction. Imagine the lines that formed to receive healing. Also imagine the excitement when the mother was holding her daughter who needed healing and was next in line, and she steps up to Jesus, and even then, though there are large crowds, Jesus is totally focused on her and her daughter. He focuses on that little girl, asks her what her name is, bends down, and the girl looks into the eyes of the man who had authority over the angels. Those same eyes knew the world before it was formed. And most of all, amongst all the noise and confusion, she sees those eyes focus solely on her. Story after healing story, Jesus touched. He touched physically, sometimes just emotionally or verbally. He healed through personal connection. Dave continues, "My job is to help the poor. I'm the leader, the president of Hope Worldwide. We seek to help the poor as much as possible. In my daily walk, I try to help the poor as much as I can, incorporating this into my life over 4+ decades as a follower of Christ. I've tried my best, though with countless failures, to walk as Jesus walked. Yet I recently learned a lesson on helping the poor, one very clear in the Bible, yet which I had managed to miss. How did Jesus help those in need? How would Jesus help the poor today? How would he respond to the woman at the stoplight asking for money? How would he respond to the homeless living under a bridge? Hope Worldwide has an audacious goal. We aspire to see all disciples regularly helping the poor as they go about their day. And the world is full of those with unmet needs for the most basic things in life. Yet, we also hope that through serving the poor, the server will be transformed to be more like Jesus, and that the beneficiary of that service will feel and see the love of Jesus. When I hand out a dollar bill to that guy at the stoplight, I feel good about myself, and that man's glad that he's making progress towards his daily goal, but neither of us is really transformed. When I hand out sandwiches to the homeless souls living in the cold on hard, wet concrete, I'm sure they're glad to have something to eat. And I feel good taking time out of my schedule to serve because of my desire to please God, but I'm not transformed. And I doubt that that person who's helped is transformed that much either. Begging is demeaning, reducing a person created in God's image to accepting the belief that he or she is only a beggar. Recently, I tried a different method of helping a person in need. I was coming from one of my frequent runs to the hardware store, and At a small intersection near my house, a number of individuals stand at the intersection to ask for money. And as usual, if I had cash in small denominations and if traffic allowed, I would give the person a few dollars. But this time, I decided to practice what Hope Worldwide and I preach. I stopped the car alongside the road, got out of my car, and then asked the gentleman if he and I could talk for a few minutes. At first, he was leery of my request, but I tried to assure him that it was cool. He then came over to find out what I wanted. I introduced myself and told him I just wanted to talk with him about his life and to pray with him. I let him know that I would give him whatever money he would miss out on by talking to me instead of collecting dollar bills from passersby. We spoke for 15 minutes. I asked him his story, where he came from, if he had any children, and so forth. It was a heartfelt conversation, especially as he sensed that I had no hidden agenda. As he spoke more, I could tell that for this brief moment, Isaiah, that was his name, felt like a man respected for who he was as a person. We discussed teenage kids, his old job repairing cars, how the Bible assures us every human is created in God's image. And finally, I asked him if I could put my hand on his shoulder and pray for him, and he looked shocked, but in a good way. We bowed our heads, and I prayed, and afterward he told me with moist eyes that no one had ever prayed for him. When I offered him a $20 bill to make up for his lost revenue for the time he talked with me, he flatly refused. I told him that if he didn't take it, I'd just leave it on the street and it would blow away. We laughed, and he sheepishly took the money. And as I drove off, I realized that I had been transformed in a way that I never would have had I only opened my window and handed him some money. I want to believe that Isaiah was also transformed, at least for that moment in time. Jesus didn't just impersonally throw out his healing powers to those who would catch them. No. In every healing, he personally and freely gave his power to an individual one touch at a time. My experience with Isaiah, reinforced as I continue to read the Gospels, reminds me of the thousands of people Jesus touched, personally, respectfully, and compassionately, one person at a time. I think I hear Jesus still saying, "Go and do likewise." Are we listening? Well, thank you, Dave. What an amazing illustration of the spirit behind James's words in chapter 2. Not just loving with words, but caring for people's needs, that personal touch. Tomorrow, in our third study of the same passage, Faith Without Deeds 3, which I've called the Epistle of Straw, we'll be looking at the attitude of Martin Luther to this passage, and that's really important for church history and for our understanding today. Lord, we pray in the name of your powerful Son, who taught the truth, lived the truth, embodied the truth, who was the truth, and personally touched all he came into contact with. We know this is what you're calling us to. It makes us uncomfortable at times. We freely admit. So help us to change and be more motivated by your Spirit to do things that are uncomfortable. We know that the cost is really minimal when there's transformation. Lord, thank you for the words of James, and I pray we'll be humble as we continue to study this letter and to learn. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed Douglas' teaching on 40 Days with James. For additional notes and resources, be sure to check out Douglas' website in the show notes. The website has hundreds of articles, podcasts, and videos for you to access for free. You can also become a premium subscriber and gain access to thousands of online resources from Douglas' teaching ministry. Thanks again for listening.